And I want to begin to sort of remind us why there is a connection between the food supply, the farmer, and the and consumers and nutrition. This is a particularly important understanding, again, that the nutrition quality and safety of the food supply has everything to do with our health and our well-being. And agriculture itself, which is a tremendous thing to remember, and many of them are the programs with which we are involved, have a ripple effect for every one job that is related to food, growing, distributing, processing, selling, marketing creates 12 additional jobs. So it is a significant contribution at this point in time. And the U.S. is considered as one of the only countries that could grow all the food it needs. So from a national security issue, this is major. And because we can grow it, we still import a significant amount of our fruits, vegetables, seafood, fish, and other products. But we could if we needed to. Now, there have been ERS studies suggesting that we can't grow enough to meet the dietary guidelines. But that's sort of what many of you in the room are trying to do, is to change the way we're growing things so that we might be able to do that at some point in time. The support of the related issues that some of you are working on, and rural development has really done a lot to provide economic stimulus to the rural America. And if without agriculture, our trade deficit would be even worse than it is today. So why can't we just agree? I mean, it seems pretty obvious that we want healthy, affordable foods accessible. So over the past few years, and I would say probably 50 years, we're beginning to see sort of a shift in this farm debate. It initially started out as a producer-oriented, production-oriented set of policies. And over the last few years, we begin to see where environmental issues have stepped forward and health issues have stepped forward as it's become a little bit more focused towards the consumer. The process used to start in the House Agriculture Committee, written by members that came from mostly California, the Midwest, and the Northeast. And they were mostly producers. My first member when I was it was from New York City. First urban person had ever been on it, and was a real champion for food security. So, and then my next boss came from California, a fruit and vegetable grower, not usually somebody that had emerged as a champion in the area. So it's not just been grown, I mean, it's not just in the farm, the Agriculture Committee. In 2008, the Ways and Means Committee got involved because food stamps could not have been paid for solely by ag money, so they had to get Ways and Means money to come forward and pay for some of it. And some of the environmental policies were actually adopted on the floor because they couldn't get them through the House Ag Committee at the time. So there's a lot of different ways. But over those past two decades, there has been an enormous focus on funding. And as I said, when I was there, they had to change the programs because of budget, not because of any particular policy organization. And we're faced with that exactly today. The House Committee and the Senate decided that they're going to cut $23 billion from these programs by this afternoon. The letter goes to the Select Committee. So that's a lot of money to cut to go to the $1.5 trillion in general. And I think Dr. Witecki will show you how the money issues have really impacted research and some of the discretionary programs as we've cut them in the fiscal year 2011 and 2012 appropriations. I'm not going to read you all these questions, but I want you to get an idea of the breadth of the kinds of questions that members are asking as they make a decision about policy. And each of these questions has really created completely divergent opinions. And sort of, they're all affected by the strategic special interests that we all bring to any policy discussion. The conflicts really arise. They used to be not political. They were much more a regional type of an issue. And they were between large small farmers and local smaller farmers. They're still between what should we be doing in urban or what should we be doing in rural. The critical issue right now and part of the place where they're going to get deficit reductions is to reduce the direct payments And the question is how, what are you going to put in its place? Because the concept is we want to protect our rural area and our workforce that's in the rural area. So that there is the sense that we can do that through insurance or some other kinds of programs. So those are the questions. Research in nutrition is always stacked up against research in energy, climate change, or pest control. We've got people that are looking for free trade issues versus those that are looking for how do you help farmers in other countries get some sustainability. And then we've got one dear to our hearts is whether SNAP benefits should continue unregulated or should we have them be more targeted towards healthy foods and a more needy population. So those are questions that have come up. So there are lots of issues that are faced, of public issues in the environment, and even plant-based medicines has become an issue, and certainly nutrition. So let me quickly show you some power players. And the top ones are past chairmen of the Agriculture Committee. And just to give you a kind of a sense of this, Congressman Foley was a wheat farmer-oriented person, so all the issues of sort of the wheat reserve and feeding the world and things like that were critically important to him. Kiko de la Garza was from the sugar area in Texas, so that became his sort of issues, and much of that came out. Larry Combes, the third person, was a cattleman. And much of the interest with cattle and much of the things that have happened with commodity purchases and stuff like that were because of him. And the far right is Congressman Lucas, who is now chairing the committee. Interesting person. He's a general farmer. And he has an ag economics background. Get the word economics, it's going to run through the theme of this particular talk. On the bottom row is Mr. Ryan. He's the person who chairs the House Budget Committee. Everything that you've heard about changes dramatically, Medicare to anything, have come out of his particular committee. He is very interested in saving money and making government much more efficient. So you can see now then next to him is Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro. She came from a consumer background. She was an advocate and she worked on the Hill. So she doesn't have really that particular interest in agriculture, though she has some farmers in Connecticut. But, you know, her background is quite different than she brought. She used to chair the appropriations. Senator Harkin was on the House Ag, Senate Ag chair, and now what does he do? Health issues. So his health issues have really, and he's head of appropriations on health. So you can see that his interests have really combined the health and the agriculture issues. Senator Stabenow will be a major, major player. And in her background, what does she have? She's many, many specialty crops, many people unemployed. So those are where her particular interests are today. Lastly is a champion. Senator Lugar from Indiana has been one of our best friends for years and years and years and years. This, just a week ago, he introduced a $40 billion cut in agriculture. $13 billion came out of mandatory food assistance programs. Unheard of from a friend like that. He has challenged in Indiana by a Tea Party person. So even this is the world now of politics, not policy. So let me just quickly say, this all goes down to funding, and the funding is either discretionary funding. Some of the proposals take it all out of discretionary, and some of them take them out of mandatory. Discretionary is a one-year appropriations for a certain amount of money, and much of our farm bill, some of the things that you folks are involved in, there are 37 discretionary-oriented programs, all fighting because there's really no money for them going into the farm bill. So you have to take some mandatory money to put into that. Mandatory funding means that you write the legislation and anybody eligible for it over that 5 years of the Farm Bill is entitled to get the funding. So a SNAP ad, your fruit and vegetable SNAP program is a mandatory program, and direct payments, though those will be changing their face. So let's just look quickly at how these programs stack up in agriculture. I just took 4 years, from 2009 to 2012. If you see this, discretionary money isn't changing. We're not getting a whole lot of money in that. The mandatory is going up and down based, again, on the economy. In the food stamps program is most of that additional money as the economy sours. And let me just show you, as you put those into a pie chart to see what portion the different sections are, 74% of the USDA budget is spent on food assistance. And I'll show you in a minute the proportion. Most of it is special food assistance from the SNAP program, but there's also a number of purchases of commodities. And that's where a lot of the fruit and vegetable support of farmers in the United States are all based on, there's probably five or six, and I think Megan's going to go over some of those programs that help fund that. 13% of it is the farm and commodity programs. Only a small amount of that is mandatory. The direct payments are about $4 billion of that. Conservation and forestry, and then all or other is 6%. That means the food safety inspectors that are out, they're underneath that. All of research is underneath that. All of rural development and marketing. So you can see, if you're going to only focus on discretionary, bingo, that is gone almost. There's not a lot of mandatory research, is there?
Just a tiny little bit.
Like less than 1%.
Oh, yeah, less than that.
All right, so just the last thing I wanted to show you is these are some figures that the economist from HealthEd had just presented, and he shared these with me. Because I want you to see what we're talking about. The Agriculture Committee, this is HAC, is the House Agriculture Committee, and we don't have the Senate because the Senate has WIC and school lunch, which are not under the Food Farm Bill. So these are just Farm Bill-related costs at this point in time. 2% of the entire $932 billion is in agriculture. Nutrition sits up there at 713, and then you go down here to look at the figures. And again, $14 billion down there for all others. The reason I put this is you help me understand how you're going to get $23 billion over 10 years without wiping out major things, and why probably any of your mandatory nutrition assistance programs are likely to be on the table, because everything is on the table. And lastly, whether the Farm Bill gets written in 2012 or it gets written more likely in 2016, we're going to be looking at some really interesting issues, feeding a huge growing world population. We're going to be looking again, as we have been, at providing local health and food supply, structuring private-public partnerships to address the climate change, energy sufficiency, optimal nutrition, and you'll hear a number of other research pieces that Dr. Witecki is going to cover. And lastly, we are not going to walk away from protecting farmers and rural communities. That's something that I think the Midwest, California, and the Northeast are committed to. So, Dr. Witecki.